Okay, welcome. So you've all got a piece of lined paper, either one that I've given you or your own. You've got the presentation guidelines for written work, which I gave you at the start of the first quarter. I've given them to you again, and they've got an example on the reverse side of how you would do it if you were word processing your work. And you've got the student presentation grading request form. Yes, ma'am. Bethany, have a look. No, on the flip side of this. There we are, you see? So that's how you'd do it if you were word processing. I'll come to those in a few minutes. Absolutely. Don't worry. I'm going to explain everything. Well, not everything, but let's pray, and then we'll start. Merciful and gracious God, thank you for these young people. Thank you for the promise that they hold by virtue of being your people. We thank you that you have promised in your goodness and kindness not only to fill and subdue the world and to disciple the nations, but to do so through ordinary men and women like those seated here. We ask, Heavenly Father, that this class and all their classes and all their days and all that they do would conduce to that end, that they would grasp every opportunity, that they'd work with all their might at whatever their hand finds to do, and so they'd grow in faithfulness and zeal and fruitfulness in Christ's service all their days. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You have probably discerned, pardon me, you've probably discerned that I have in mind something slightly different for today's class. If you've discerned that, you're correct. And I want to start by reading you from the Bible, right? So if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn with me to the book of Proverbs to start with. Turn to Proverbs 27. If you haven't got a Bible, then shuffle up close to somebody who has. Unless you know Proverbs by heart, which would be fine, but if you've not got a Bible, shuffle up close to somebody who has. Maybe Rachel could pop that one in between. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Make sure you can read it, and you've got good eyes, you can see. Okay. So Proverbs 27, verse 6. Luke, could you read that for us, please?
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy.
What does profuse mean?
Very good. What does profuse mean? Anybody? Go on, Gabe. You don't know. Profuse. Hands up. Anybody? I know Mrs. Claghorn knows. Yes, go, Grace. It's in Proverbs 27, 6. Have you got your Bible?
Yes.
A lot. Very good. Very good. So, the book of Proverbs says here that your enemy will kiss you a lot.
Will suck up to you.
Sir, very good. Will suck up to you. Because it's contrasted with the first half of the verse, the wounds of a friend.
Close to you can easily hurt you because they're so close, but an enemy, since they're farther away, it's not as easy for them to hurt you, and so they not only suck up to you but try to win your approval and your trust.
The first part might be right, that those who are close to us, it's easier for them to hurt us. Yes, sometimes we are most hurt by the people who love us most. But what this proverb is getting at is partly the second part of what you're saying, just a second, Christina. It's that your enemies, people who don't love you, will suck up to you. Sometimes. I mean, the book of Proverbs is observations about life. You know.
Don't they do that if they're weaker than you?
Would they do that if they're weaker than you? No, sometimes they do it because they can't be bothered to wound you. Christina, you had your hand up.
I was going to disagree with Bully because I feel like with some of the girls in this room, I even have this type of relationship, we're willing to call each other out. And it can hurt, and we don't want to hear what the that our good friend has to say, but it's eventually going to, like, guide us. And
how do you disagree with me?
I think that's very close to what Lily's saying. In
the second, well,
whoa, 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 whoa! Yeah, I think the first part of what you said. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm saying people who are closer to you can hurt you easier, regardless of the outcome. Even if they hurt you easier, you can still accept that and understand how you were hurt, and maybe they were right. You were still hurt.
But I feel like there's a different way of how you are hurt. I think
there's.
Let Christina speak. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Just pause a second. I think Lily, you're right. Certainly in what you were saying about the second part of the proverb, that those who are further away from us might just, or who don't care for us so much, will just suck up to us rather than speaking the truth. I think the other thing you said is certainly true. It's certainly true that we're most upset if somebody we love snaps at us. That's certainly true. But here, I don't think it's quite about that. I think it's about what you went on to say, which Christina picked up, which is this. It's only a friend who really will wound you. Okay? The Lord disciplines those he what loves or hates?
Loves.
The Lord disciplines those he loves. Pastor Toby Sumter gave an exhortation along these lines at the meeting that one of the meetings I went to last week. It was an exhortation against flattery. You know what flattery means? What does flattery mean? Just you're doing really well today, but somebody else. Yeah, Analia.
That Luke looks really bad today, and I tell him, you know, like, you look really good today.
Yeah,
I'm flattering him to make him like.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Go ahead.
Luke, but flattery is just overstating the truth.
No, it might.
Is it actually lying?
Yeah, it might be lying. Because yeah. Look at Proverbs 26:28, a few verses before what we were looking at, and notice the parallelism. Look at 26:28. You better read it loud now. 26:28.
Though his hatred.
No, no.
What?
26:28. There.
26:28.
No, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 28.
Oh. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin.
Right. Barbara, back. Thank you, Lily. Okay, hold on. A lying tongue hates its victims. And you think, oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Because people who lie are people who tell lies do so in order to hurt other people sometimes. But what's the particular kind of lying that is in view here? Notice the parallelism. Verse 28. A lying tongue.
So if you, lie to somebody to flatter them, you're hating them because you're not telling them what's best for them, what's good for them, what's actually going to help them. You're lying to them. So, like, if they truly did need spiritual growth in an area and you're telling them, oh, you're great at that already, then they think, oh, I don't need to grow there anymore. Mm-hmm. You lied to them and you are hating them because you're telling them something that's worse for them.
Very good. Very good. Can you all see that? And look at the last phrase of the second line in that proverb. What does a flattering mouth do? Somebody else who hasn't spoken today. Works ruin. So Pastor Toby urged us not to flatter each other. It's very tempting to flatter each other in a place like Series C Council meeting because so many people there and we all want to feel good about ourselves and about each other. And hey, look, if I go and flatter Pastor Toby, maybe he'll invite me on his famous podcast. Yeah, it's a great way of destroying my brother. Yes, Mary Catherine.
Is it still flattering if you're telling them the truth? Like if you're saying that you look pretty with your glasses or something, when they think they don't look good with the glasses and you tell them that they do, is that still flattering?
No, that would be complimenting them, wouldn't it? Because notice, in again, in verse 28, there's a parallelism between the two lines. A lying tongue, a flattering mouth. So a flattering mouth is one that tells lies. So, Luke, actually, your hair looks really sharp today. And it looks pretty neat, and, you know, the shaved side parting or whatever you've got done there. It's like, that's all true. I'm kind of joking, right? But yeah. So, yeah.
Are you doing this because of this?
Yes.
Because...
Hold on. So I had to mark your homework. And I want to explain what I did and why I did it and what I'm offering to do for you now and a bunch of other considerations connected with that. I wanted to step back for a second and say, when I set up the grading criteria for this class, I was quite specific about different areas. For example, understanding, contribution in class, and so on. And you guys have been great in relation to everything in this class. So as I was going through your little online Google Drive spreadsheets that I set up, painstakingly and laboriously set up for each of you, I was going through the, contribution in class and the understanding and articulacy and so on. And it was a really fun and easy thing to do because I was able to give credit for good understanding among all of you. To different levels, but you all did either pretty good or good. Some of you, it was particularly encouraging because, for example, I'd challenged you last year about contributing in class when you hadn't really done so. And this year, you really stepped up. And you've been doing really well. But then I came to the homework presentation part. And if I had applied the grading criteria that I gave you and your parents at the start of the academic year, I would have had to fail half the class. Actually, I'd have had to fail more than half of this class, slightly less than half of the older class. And the reason is because you simply didn't all, some of you did, but most of you didn't do what I asked you to do. And what I asked you to do is very simple. Bear with me a second. And I was thinking about this in the summer. I was thinking about you guys a lot, trying to work out what to do, because I know where a lot of you have come from. Okay, you've come from contexts where your teachers, in many cases your parents have been your teachers, and they've been working really, really hard to try and help you to learn stuff, and trying to get themselves familiar with different subjects. They've spent hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars on curriculum materials. They've not taken up other jobs that your mums especially and perhaps also your dads could have done, which would have made them richer, and they've done all that because they love you, and they're doing the best they can to give you the best education they possibly can. And now they've sent you here, and like they're really excited, and I don't know, some, perhaps most, or even all of you guys are excited to be here. But always there are some things that fall between the cracks. You know, nobody is, no student are perfect, right? And the one thing that tends to fall between the cracks among students in homeschool environments And also in environments that have that element of informality about them. Maybe a university model school like this one. One thing that tends to fall between the cracks is strict adherence to guidelines about presentation, handing in work on time, laying out work in a particular way, writing it neatly. Because that's, for many homeschooling families, that's the thing that your mum doesn't really have the time or the energy to chase you up about, right? You've done the work. Well, thank goodness she's done the work, right? Yeah? Now some families are different. And some children just more naturally gravitate to that. But I've noticed over the years, I noticed it with my children, I had to push them extremely hard to get them to produce the best they could do. And that then bleeds into other things. It's not just presentation. What starts to happen is, you know, you begin the semester or the quarter and you're really enthusiastic. And you're like, you know, you get your homework and you're like, oh, wow, this is really great. And you sit down the evening that you're given the homework. And you start working on it. And you're writing two or three pages of really neat notes. And it's really exciting. And you're putting yourself, pouring yourself into it. And you're really getting a lot out of it. And by the middle of the semester, it's like, where's my homework? And I noticed a very, very marked decline in not just neatness of presentation, but length and quality of presentation during the 8 or 9 weeks of last semester. And so I did some investigating. I talked to a few of your other teachers. I said, do you notice anything similar in those classes? And like, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you which teachers I talked to. Guess what I discovered? Anybody want to guess what I discovered?
No.
Go on, Gabe.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Again, it varied. Some students were pretty consistent, pretty good all the way through the quarter. Some of you have learned habits of diligence and consistent hard work, and some of you have not. And it showed in my class, and it showed in their classes. Now, here's the problem, right? Mr. Bauer's job is to teach you what? What does he teach you? Tradidio. Right. Who teaches you science? Mrs. Right, you've got a couple of science teachers. Who teaches you Greek? Do you all do Greek?
Dr. Jones.
Yeah, Dr. Jones, right. Their job is to do science and Greek and Tradidio, and maybe you do literature and history and creative writing. I don't know what else you do, all these different things. Well, and my job is to teach you Bible and theology. And it's like nobody has the job of teaching you the basic disciplines of whatever your hand finds to do, work at it with all your might. Whose job is it to teach you consistently to work as hard as you possibly can all the time in what you're doing? Whose job is that?
Mentor or teacher.
Maybe.
Ourselves.
Yourselves? But if you had a teacher who's responsible for teaching you that whatever your hand finds to do, work at it with all your might. Where's that a quotation from?
Bible.
The Bible.
Say it again.
Whatever your hand finds to do, work at it with all your might. Where is that from in the Bible?
Bible.
Not quite.
James.
No. Good guess. Ecclesiastes. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It's after Proverbs, if you're wondering, and before Song of Solomon. We used to have this on our refrigerator at home. We had a big sheet of card on which it was underneath the sign that said, "This is a no whining zone." We had Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, which says, and I quote, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no, literally, there is no doing or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. The word do or work appears three times in that verse. Whatever your hand finds to work at it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you're going. When you're dead, you won't be able to work until the resurrection, obviously. You have this short window of opportunity to work. Work, 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 this verse says. And literally, the text says, work at it with your muchness, me'od. And you probably don't know enough Hebrew yet. Hands up if you know any Hebrew, apart from the odd smattering of words I've told you, like Elohim and stuff. Yeah, of course, you don't know any Hebrew. Where in the Bible do you find the word might? Hold on, go ahead.
All throughout it.
Very significant places. You shall love the Lord your God, yeah? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your me'od. Literally, it's the Hebrew word for very or much. But it becomes like a noun, like muchness. You shall love the Lord your God with all your muchness. It's like, what's that mean? The thought is, all of what you are is to be put into loving the Lord your God. Yes? And according to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, all of what you are is to be put into your work, work, work. So whose job is it? Oh my goodness. Whose job is it to teach you to work hard and consistently and diligently in all your other subjects? It's Muggins here. Me. Because I get to teach Bible and theology, and one thing that the Bible says is that whatever your hand finds to do, you're supposed to work at it with all your might. So even though it's not on the curriculum, because your curriculum is, you know, that book by John Frame and systematic theology and long debates about the doctrine of election and so on and so forth. By implication, it's my responsibility to teach you to work as hard as you can in all your other subjects and this one all the time.
Shouldn't it be every teacher's responsibility to at least comment on it?
Yeah, probably. But I think they are probably torn a little bit. Because if they told you what they really think and put it in the form of a grade, half of you'd fail every year. And so what they do, actually, is we sort of fudge this blurry line between trying to hold you to high standards and cutting you the same amount of slack that you'd get in the public schools, right? In the public schools, you could hand in garbage and you'd get an A. Like, it's just what happens. And if you're there in the class and you hand something in that has the title which you were set, however scruffily it's written, you'd be fine. And then you go to some tinpot college somewhere and get a degree that's worth nothing, come out with six figures of debt, and then, oh, great, I've succeeded in the American education system. It's great. Well, I think I have slightly higher aspirations than that, but I can only have aspirations that are as high as your aspirations. One of the most painful lessons I've ever learned as a pastor is you cannot help people who do not want to be helped. Just pause 1 second, I'll come to you in a minute, Mary Catherine. I cannot do anything for anybody who doesn't want the kind of help that I as a pastor and a teacher and am able to give. I can't, there's nothing I can do. What I can try to do is to encourage them to want to be helped. But in the end, they need to decide what I want to do. I'm as Calvinist as Calvin, right? But you still need to decide what you want to do. And I want to place before you a very, very clear choice today. I'm going to ask you to sign a document that states what you'd like me to do for you. I'll come to that in a minute. Mary Catherine, you had a question.
So you said that you can only push us as hard as we'll push ourselves.
Not quite. I could push you as hard as I like, but I'm not going to actually be able to help. In other words, if you don't want to be the most faithful, godly, hardworking, diligent, productive, fruitful version of yourself that you want to be, then I'm trying to shovel water uphill. You know, it's like I can probably make a bit of a splash, right? I can spray water around all over the place, but what I can't do is actually move the river. Yeah? But I have to tell you, and I've seen it, with young people who actually want to grow in Christ-likeness and faithfulness, which is what we're really talking about here. Do you think Jesus ever handed in his homework scruffy and late?
No.
Right. That's what we're talking about. It's that it's the primary manifestation of your Christ-likeness in this place. That's somebody who wants to grow in Christ-likeness, I've seen people completely transformed. I tell you, there are people in this room whose contributions to theology classes are unrecognizably better since last year. I've seen it. And I've also seen people just let the last 9 weeks dribble away. And they've had made all the right noises, made all the right kind of resolutions, and then done nothing, or done not much. And so I want to place before you a very, very clear choice about what you'd like me to do. We're leading up to when I'm going to ask you to fill in and sign this student presentation grading request form. But we're not going to come to that. First, I want to just show you precisely what it is I'm talking about. So can you open up your homework folders from last year, from last quarter?
Last
quarter, sorry. So the ones that I handed back to you earlier today. Okay. And turn to a piece of your homework, okay? Now, I'd given you, have you all found a piece of your homework? Okay, I'd given you a document that I wrote with my own bleeding fingered hands explaining how to present your homework. You remember? The new grading guidelines for the Bible and theology classes include a component for preparation. And I'm reading now from this word process document here. Can you see that? And I explained that the above headings illustrate the required formatting. Please write your name, the name of the class, the type of work, and the date on successive lines in the top left corner, then after a skipped line, the title of the particular piece of work in the centre of the page. Yeah? And then I said, please follow the same formatting for all notes made during class. Each piece of work, whether class notes or homework, should begin on a fresh sheet of paper. Homework may either be handwritten on lined letter-sized paper, or word processed and printed on blank letter-sized paper like this. Class notes and homework should be stored and submitted in an appropriately sized three-ring binder. Please store homework and class notes in a separate part of the binder since this will facilitate grading of the homework. And so I gave you those instructions. Now, look at your homework for me. Some of you, less than half, but some of you, have something which is approximately like this on the reverse side of the paper, okay? It's got name, systematic theology, homework, the date, then a skipped line, and then the title of the work, yeah? Some of you have got something like that. Now, here's a weird thing. I don't particularly like this formatting. Like, you might look at this and think this is really ugly. It wastes the top 3 inches of the paper. And I don't like it either. I was given it by Mrs. Brandt. Like, blame her. But the point I'm making is a very important one. I have to comply with presentation guidelines whether or not I like it. And so I thought, I'll do a test. I'll see if these guys can comply with it. It turns out most of you can't. It's very simple. And I want to show you that you can do it. Go ahead.
On letter-sized paper, if the rules, would you prefer it up here or on the lines?
So what does it say? Please write your name, type of work, da-da-da-da-da. On successive lines at the top left corner. So that would be on the lines, yeah? Now, here's the thing.
So, between the lines?
On the lines, like, you know what it means, writing on the, yes, obviously in the spaces between the lines, right? Now, with the homework for the last quarter, what I did was to curve the grades, so nobody failed. You all got sort of fours and fives, and I think one or two of you got three. So I was being really, really generous, really, really gracious, really, really soft, and really, really unhelpful to your long-term discipleship. Because I was flattering you. And I want you to tell me whether you'd like me to continue to flatter you. No, don't be giving me the kind of, oh, don't do it. You have to write down and sign and date a document that tells me what to do. Before you do that, some of you don't have a word processor or you don't have access to a printer. I want to prove to you that you can do precisely what is required every single time, because I've given you a blank sheet of paper. Can you see this? This is the lined piece of paper I gave you, right? What I'd like you to do is to take that piece of paper out and write on it just like what I've written. Can you, your eyes are young and superb and you can all do this perfectly well, right? You can see it says, it's got my name at the top line. And then it's got, don't rush because I want it to be done neatly. Systematic theology, homework, write some date underneath it, skip a line, and then write the title of a subject, like the person of Christ. I'm going to walk around with it. You see this? See what I'm looking for? It's just exactly like what I said in the instructions. You could all do this. Okay, this is really, really easy. You can all do it neatly. You can all do it carefully. You can all do it beautifully. You can all do it in less than 1 minute. Name, systematic theology, homework, date, skip a line, then centered, write the person of Christ or something. You can all do that. I am. I'm going to take them in. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to frame them. I'm not going to frame them. I'm going to take them in. Oh, no, you, okay. Oh. Okay. Your name is not Sedgwick. Your name is Lily Sedgwick. I want your full name. It's okay. I'll get you another piece of paper. And I said skip a line. So putting that down one. So hold on. Wait a second, Lily. I'll give you another piece of paper. You can do it again. So Lily Sedgwick. Systematic theology, homework, date, skip a line, conversion of factors. Yeah, we'll do that in theology. Okay? Wait. No, not wait. You're okay.
Wait, do I need it? Just put a title
on it. Yeah, any title you like.
What date?
Today's date would be good. The 5th of October. That's great. Let's have a look. Let me take these in. I'm going to take them in. So that took you probably 2 minutes to do. I mean, you're a little distracted. You'll get the hang of it. You'll be able to do it in less than a minute. Let me take all these in. Okay, that's great. That's perfect. That's great. That's great. Jack, I think you might have missed out the line that says homework.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Okay. Flip it over and do it on that side. And do it. Oh, sorry, Jack. Perfect. Perfect. Centered, write a title like the person of Christ or Pastor Jeffrey's beat-up lesson or something. All right, I'm going to make sure this is right. It's Bo Turner. Luke Williams. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Where else are we going? Yes.
So with our class notes, before we start taking notes, just write all that down and then center.
That's what I said. You write centered, whatever the subject is for the day. If you're not sure what it is, obviously, because you never know what Pastor Jeffrey's going to do to you, right? Just leave it blank. Okay. You can always come back to it. Let me take these in. Make sure they're okay. This is excellent. Very good. Thank you, Nico. Excellent. Thank you, Lily. Contemplate. Right. Excellent. Excellent. I'll come back to get yours in a second, Jeff. Okay, now I know what you can do. Ha ha. So now I want you to tell me on this form here, the student presentation grading request form, I'd like you to let me know what standard you'd like me to hold you to. I'm going to read the two options. Don't fill them in yet. The two options are option one. Please continue to mark my written work generously. In other words, please continue to flatter me in violation of Proverbs 27 and 26. As in quarter one, 2023, as in this last quarter, overlooking my failure to comply with formatting instructions, messy handwriting and cartoon pictures of Mr. Bauer.
Do people actually do that?
Guys, when you were six, you can draw cartoons in your classwork and your homework notes. Don't do it anymore. You're grown-ups. Option two, sorry, I'll continue on. I realise that if I check this option, I will certainly pass this course and will be able to complete this year of my education without delay and get out of Pastor Jeffrey's class until next time. Yeah, so you can just, that's fine, if that's what you want. Option two, please mark my written work strictly in accordance with the following presentation guidelines as stipulated in the grading criteria issued at the start of the academic year. Quote, every item of homework submitted late or out of accordance with the guidelines loses 0.5. Every item of missing homework loses 1. Every item of messy homework loses 0.5 unless the student embarks upon an agreed program of improvement in presentation. A negative total mark is theoretically possible. End of quote. I realise that unless my presentation reaches the required standard, and the required standard is now at least as smart and neat as what you've just done. Homework. I realise that your class notes you might be writing in a bit of a hurry. Okay, I'll be more lenient with those because you're doing homework, you've got time to sit down and think. Because you're obviously not doing it the night before. Right. I realise that unless my presentation reaches the required standard, I will likely fail the course and may be unable to complete this year of my education on schedule. Now, let me try and persuade you to take option two. Here's the reason why you should take option two. Because what I'm effectively doing is bringing forward the experience that is certainly coming your way in the future. I've talked about this before. I'm bringing forward the experience where how much you apply yourself to your work has consequences. Real consequences. How much a wife or a husband applies themselves to their work has consequences. How much an employee applies themselves to their work has consequences. If you're a student in a higher institution of higher education, how hard you work has consequences. If you're working removing fallen down tree branches from power lines, as somebody's going to have to do for Pastor Shaw this morning. How well you do your work has consequences. All of these things matter. And what I'm offering to do for you now is to bring forward the day when your diligence or lack of it has consequences, so that you will then know if you get to the end, if you've ticked option two and you actually pass Pastor Jeffrey's course, you'll know you've actually worked. Whereas if you tick option one and you pass, you'll know that you won't know anything. You might have just been lazy, but obviously you've got no way of ascertaining whether there's been any significant growth in your maturity as a Christian man or a Christian woman. Now, for some of you, this won't actually require much change to tick option two. Some of you could tick option two and you'd get 4.5 or 5 like you did this time round. For presentation. But some of you, it's going to require really dramatic changes. You might need to tidy your bedroom, try and find your desk, throw your pile of computer games and smelly socks that you've scooped off your desk onto the floor, into the dumpster, and learn to actually work for the first time in your lives. I don't want to underestimate that. And it's quite possible that some of you will, in a fit of enthusiasm today, tick option two and then fail. Because if you score less than one or less out of five in any of the categories for the four categories that I outlined in the spreadsheet that I gave you at the start of the year, less than one or less out of five, and you fail automatically, even if you get five in the other three. Because I don't think it's acceptable for a student who's great in class, like you all are, to then turn in rubbish as homework and then to pass because your class performance brought up the overall grade and your written work was useless. Because that's not a realistic way of assessing you, is it? In the real world, you have to write things. Yes? So, it's up to you. If you need more time to think about it, if you'd like to talk to your parents about it, you may do so. And I'd encourage you to share this recording with your parents. It's all available for your parents. I'd like them to hear what I have to say. And if they have any questions, they are more than welcome to come and talk to me. I'd like to help them if they need any help. I'd certainly like to help you. But I can't help you if you tick option one, because you just told me you want me to be generous. That is to say, to continue to lie to you, if necessary, about how good your written work is, even if it's poor. Okay? So, option one or option two. Please tick one of those two options. This will remain just between us. You can show your neighbour if you like, but you don't need to. I'm going to gather them in, and then I'll keep hold you to tick option one or two, write your name in block capitals, sign it, and then date it. Thank you. It is October the 5th, 2023, but that's fine, yes.
Block capitals, all caps?
Yeah, that's right, all capitals. So if you've written your name in lowercase, then just write your name in block capitals next to it, and that'll be fine. It's just that I can't always read your beautiful handwriting, and I don't want to risk getting it wrong. When you're done, please look up so I can see that you're done and I can collect whatever you've written. Thank you, sir. You finished?
I wrote the wrong date.
I ticked the wrong option. No, I didn't mean to tick that. All right, thank you. All right, thank you very much. Great, wonderful. Sign it. When you sign something, you understand what you're doing. When you sign, you write a signature. What you're doing is you're obligating yourself to fulfil the terms of the document. Then at that point, like so, your signature. I don't know if you had a checkbook or something. I know you don't know what checkbooks are. Okay. So just sign it like you would on the back of a bank card or something. That's great. Perfect. Thank you, Kate. Anybody not handed theirs in? Yeah, thank you. I'll take yours. Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right. You're doing all right, Jack? Okay. Yes, sir. That's fine. Yeah. That's okay. I don't mind where you start. You start on the top if you like. That's okay. Good. Thank you. Neatness is also an issue for some of you, right? Starts neat. When I was at school, we used to write in exercise books. So I could see the decline in the quality of my presentation from the first page with this beautiful, shiny new exercise book. It was all neat to the end of the book, and it was all scruffy. And so this is one of the reasons why I want to present you guys with this opportunity, because I had a teacher who did this for me. I don't know whether she was a Christian. Mrs. Inglewood was her name, my chemistry teacher. And she didn't do this long thing in a class or something, but she just kind of, she kept giving me bad grades in chemistry. Thank you, Jen. I'll take this one. Yeah, that's great. She kept giving me bad grades in chemistry, which is really annoying. I'd be like, what? Why are you giving me bad grades? It's because your presentation is appalling, Stephen. Oh, okay. So eventually I thought, for various other reasons as well that I think I might have shared with you, I thought I'd better shape up right now. I want to say one more thing, and I want to hear reactions from you guys. We've got 5 minutes left, probably seven or 8 minutes left. One more thing. I know that for some of you, perhaps for many of you, the circumstances in your lives that have given rise to your performance, let's say, are complicated. I don't necessarily know what those circumstances are, but I know that I'm a pastor, for goodness sake. I know what life is like. I know that I only ever see the tip of the iceberg. So I see you all here, you know, showered and dressed and all neat and tidy with your pens and your Bibles, most of you, all looking like, oh, they all look like students. I know that for some of you, either the situation that you're in at home is a bit chaotic. Maybe you've got lots of siblings and your parents are working really hard just to try and create some calm in the house so you can work and it doesn't always work out. I know that's the case. I know that for some of you, there are other things going on in your mind or in your heart that are making your lives difficult. I was a teenager once, okay? I've been 15, or however old it is that you are, right? All the things that you think about, I've been there. I'm not unsympathetic to the realities of your lives. Even if I haven't experienced everything that you've experienced, I've been that age and stage, okay? So I know that your lives are complicated. If you would... Those kids. If you want help, ask. If you don't feel able to ask me, that's fine. Go ask somebody else. Go ask Mrs. Brandt. She's really nice, you see. Right? But don't let your circumstances, whatever they are, stop you from growing in faithfulness. Yes? Right. We have 5 or 6 minutes. I would like to hear your reactions to what I said. I'm going to sit down and be quiet and listen to anything that you might have to say. I think we should allow people to put their hands up rather than just shouting it all at once. Christina, yes?
I have a question about what you mean by marking. Are you actually going to, like, take a red pen or something and write on our things, or is that
yes,
just
please,
like... I don't actually have time to go through every single one of your pieces of work and point out all the errors. I certainly wouldn't have time to do that with the work that you did last time. But what I'm going to do is I'll mark it on the spreadsheet. So if there's an item of homework missing, then well, you lose 1 point immediately. I set the numbers graciously. So if you're not present for a particular class, I accept that missing homework. I shouldn't do that. I probably should apply that strictly. So if you're not here for the class, you should still submit the homework. And it should be easy for me to count because each one should start on a separate sheet of paper, so I should be able to see the headings and just count them up. But that's what I mean by marking. So if there were 9 weeks in the semester, I should get 8 pieces of homework if we're at the start of the year, or 9 if we're in the middle of the year. And if you handed in 6, then you lose 3. And if 2 of them are scruffy, then you lose another 2 times 0.5, so you lose 4. So you get 1 out of 5, so you fail. So if you've ticked option 2, that's what you just signed up to. Yes, sir.
So there were some of the things you assigned that it was like we read the article and then we read it again the next week having notes. So I just like put the notes in the same thing and I continued to add to them.
Yeah.
What would I do about that? Just like put this is from 2 weeks? Or?
I realized that that's what some of you were doing. And that's actually what's going to happen this week. I encourage you to start each week's reflections on a separate sheet of paper so it's easy for you and for me to see what you're doing. And then continue writing some additional reflections. So, for example, notes or thoughts. If you think you've exhausted a chapter of John Frame's book in an hour of reading, think again. There's more there. Or what you could do is say, I didn't feel there was much more that I could get from this chapter, so I started reading the next chapter. You know, be creative, be imaginative. You're going to still spend an hour or so doing your theology homework. Use it productively. Yeah? Yes, sir.
So for every, what I did in particular is I would start a particular assignment with the format that you said, but after that, I would just do what he did. I would continue adding notes. Mm-hmm. So do you want us, for every continuation that we add, to start on a new piece of paper and do the heading and all that, or do we just write the date by where we started?
I think it would be wise to begin each week's work on a new sheet of paper. Okay. And understand that in marking the last quarter's work, I was generous towards this. I didn't. So if that's what you did, I went with, let's say, the spirit of the law and then was generous about it. So I wasn't trying to. I was looking for ways to give you marks, and then I increased the marks of anybody who was going to fail, and actually increased everybody's marks, unless they were already on 5. Yes, sir.
Okay, so when you said you're if you picked off some two, you're going to step up the grading. Is it for presentation, for that one section only, or for everything that you're stepping up the grade?
No, your performance in classroom discussion, the understanding that you all show in classroom discussion, I'm very pleased with. I think probably if you prepared more diligently, you would get even better. But as I said at the beginning of today, your overall performance in discussion in this class has been very good. I've been very pleased. And I would hate for you to miss out in the future because you've never been trained to produce quality written documents. Yes, Danielle, and then Grace. No, they don't. I just grade on the basis of the homework, but I want to encourage you to do the same in the class notes. So I realize that sometimes in the class notes, in the discussion, you're writing in a hurry. You might not have time to write much because sometimes our conversations and get really wrapped up and tangled up and they're going all over the place. That's fine. So I made a decision. I think I stated this at the start of the year. I want to see them. I want to see that you've done something, but I'm not going to apply grade to them. But I think if you had an hour to read a chapter and write some notes on it, you should be able to produce a chunk of neat, thoughtful material. Yeah? All right, Grace.
So I know that we have to do some stuff over the break, correct?
Yes.
So now that we know this,
right? I won't apply this option 2 standard to the work that you've done for this week. I don't think it's fair to apply rules retrospectively. That's unjust. Anything else? You've had some questions about what I've said in terms of the substance of it. Do you have any reflections about this briefly? How do you feel about this way of doing business?
Yeah. I think that it will help us grow our classes. I think that if we learn to do it, we have more classes to spread towards
others. I think that's very perceptive. Character permeates different domains. Diligence here will make you a better daughter, a better Greek student, and a better mum, for example. Lily, and then Lucas. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Lucas. Thank you.
Thank you. So kind of building off what she just said, I think that if we truly do learn discipline and integrity for doing the homework correctly and doing it to the fullest of our ability, it won't, if we truly learn that, it won't only be something that we learn here. Like, if we truly learn it, we'll be doing it in all of our classes, because that would be being diligent and doing what is doing the best of your ability in everything that you do. So mm-hmm. If we truly do learn this, it's not going to be just something in this class. It's something that we're signing up for, basically, for all of our classes.
I think that's right. Yeah. similar to Grace's comment. Yeah, Lily, then we'll conclude.
I think it's interesting because you said many times that you don't get a lot of emails concerning theology. I'm sure you get many, many emails, but I'm talking about theology class,
yeah.
Questions. And so I'm wondering what it feels like to watch someone or a good amount of people fail and be fine with it. What that feels like to you, because you're putting your time into this. You could be doing all kinds of other things. You said you get 5 minutes, you get a call, another 5 minutes, another call. So you're busy,
mm-hmm.
and you're giving your time, investing your time, actually, into us and past classes. So what's it feel like for you when someone doesn't even care and they just fail? What's that like?
That's a good question. It's a mixture of emotions. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes I wish there was some way of showing you guys what the world looks like from 35 years down the track, which is where I am. And there is a way of doing that. It's Solomonic wisdom. So the whole point of the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, actually, is to show the son what the father sees. And I'm old enough to be your father's, your father. Your father's? You know what I mean. Your father. You know? And Solomon, who's like a picture of the perfect wise man, he's trying to show the young lad, and obviously the young woman, because there are Proverbs 31 and other elements in the Proverbs. He's trying to show the teenagers what he sees. And if honestly, if you could see what I can see, you wouldn't waste this opportunity. On which note, you better not be late for your next one. Let me pray and then you can go. Merciful Father, we thank you for one another. I thank you for these young people. And pray that you'd help them to maintain the resolutions that no doubt seem sharply delineated in their minds now, and to grow and flourish as they strive for diligence and faithfulness in the future. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.